So we'll continue our discussion of Lashon Hara. Yesterday we did the five forms of Lashon Hara. Today we're going to look at the times that we are permitted, actually maybe obligated, to speak what seems like Lashon Hara, but if you're allowed to speak it, it can't be Lashon Hara, because you're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara, so it must be Lashon Tov. You with me? So it may look like Lashon Hara, it may smell like it, it may taste like it, but it ain't it. That is going to be the idea of today, and we're going to go through seven preconditions, and we'll see if we can get through all seven today, that one needs to fulfill in order to be able to speak, quote-unquote, Lashon Hara. Let's start with the Chofetz Chaim. Let's finish off yesterday's class, though, of the Chofetz Chaim. We mentioned this yesterday, but let's just see it inside, so you know I didn't make it up. And the Chofetz Chaim over here, section 4, part A, says the Lashon Hara isn't always speaking. It can be other forms of non-verbal communication. Says the Chofetz Chaim, Isur ze shel Lashon Hara, hu bein im hu mesaper alav bepiv. This Lashon Hara is whether a person speaks with their mouth, mamish, or shu kotev alav davar ze mechlava, or whether he writes it with his hand, the gam in chilek bein im hu mesaper alav Lashon Hara, even if he hints at it, right? So as we said yesterday, a person may roll their eyes. So what do you think about her? So you want to eat in that restaurant? Ooh, you know, that kind of stuff. Or a little smile. You know, one of those? Yeah. So that could also be constituted as Lashon Hara. It's not just speech, you see? B'chol gavnei b'klal Lashon Hara hu. Says the Chofetz Chaim, it's all cynical smiles and rolling eyes, that could potentially be Lashon Hara. Okay? So there we have it ready. Next page. Now, the Chofetz Chaim over here is going to discuss the difference between hearing it, accepting it, believing it. So let's look inside. Halacha Aleph. Asur lakabel Lashon Hara min haTorah. It's actually forbidden, he says, to accept. Lakabel is to receive. To accept Lashon Hara. And that is an Isur min haTorah. Is a Torah prohibition. Dahainu, shelo na'amin b'libeinu shasipu hu emet. You can't believe it's true. Someone says to you, that girl, you know, she stole stuff from me. I had stuff in my pocketbook, and it's gone. And it happened a couple of years ago, and she's a thief. Okay. Now, unless this person's warning you to watch your stuff, which they could be doing, we'll speak about it. But if there's no such threat, and this is past information, and you're now going to think negatively of this person, what you have to put in your head is, it's just not true. It's not true. Doesn't mean you're obligated to have this person watch your money for you. Right? Kap deyu v'chashdeyu. You can still be careful when it comes to dealing with this individual. However, in your mind, you can think, I don't believe it. It can't be. You have to actually try to convince yourself. V'amekabel Lashon Hara, and the person who accepts Lashon Hara, over below taseh, is actually just a listener. You're standing there, just listening, but you accept it, believe it to be true, is accepting upon themselves, lo tisa shema shav. Do not accept a false report. That's Chofetz Chaim. If it's told me it's true, it is true. Because it's uncorroborated, it's undetermined, this is one person's understanding of it, you know? I have no way to verify that it's true, I'm just accepting it. So in that case, in that sense, it is a false report. Yeah? Af al shmiat lashon hara, levad, gam ken yish isur min haTorah. Just hearing it could be a problem. Af bedas hashmia, em bedas ol kabbalat davar, even if the intention of the person is not to believe it. Kevan shemata asno lishmoa, because they're kind of like, ooh, so you haven't, they're like putting their ear close so they can hear it. Ach yesh chaluk ben shmia la kabbalah. There is a difference between hearing lashon hara and believing it. La kabbalah is to believe it, which we're going to assume is worse. Yeah. Listening to Lashon Hara is forbidden if the information does not pertain to this person. Aval im adavar nogea lo al haba im emetu mutar lachatzchil lishmo lezeh. If, however, the information being said might pertain to this person in the future, what you're hearing could be pertinent to you, you're allowed to listen to it in order to protect yourself from damage or harm. So a person's going to go into business with someone, and you've been in business with this person. We'll see the conditions soon. But you've been in business with this person, and you know they're a crook. They did terrible things to you. You have first-hand information. And you're like, hi, so I want to go into business with Charlie. What do you think? So, oh, dear. I can't speak Lashon Hara. Oh, he's a great guy. Oh, such an amazing experience. You're allowed to do that? So he's saying, that could be a problem. Kedei lochosh lezeh, lishamer menu kevan demashu rotze lishmo, en kevanato lishmo, begrosso shel chavero. He's not there to listen to the gnus, the disparaging. If you're not listening to because you want to hear, oh, tell me some bad stuff about them. Raku rotze, let's see, that's my, wants to save himself. So that's going to be allowed. Aval lekabel, dahainu lachlit davar believer shu emet asu b'kol gavnei, but to believe it absolutely, that's forbidden. You hear that? It's unusual. So you should kind of like hear it to protect yourself, but you still can't believe it. Yeah.
So what if someone asks you something like that, like you should go into business with someone else, and you know because you lie?
So the question is, you don't lie. You should tell them, and this person should hear it. And we'll see right now how to do it. That's going to be today's class. How to actually go through this. But the concept is that you should do something about it to help them. And that's based upon a pasuk in the Torah, which is written on the board behind me. L'to'eles, constructive speech. Lo'i tamod al damra echa. What do those words mean? Do not stand by while your friend's blood is being shed. Now, usually we understand that word to be if your friend's being attacked, as Rashi says, by a person. If your friend's being attacked by an animal and you're able to save that dying yourself, then you should go and help them. But it's not just a physical life harm we're speaking about over here. This is also a Lashon Hara thing. If you know a person could be in trouble, whether physically, financially, emotionally, or any other way, by another person's information, knowledge, behavior, you should tell them. Don't stand by. Right? In other words, me not telling you about this shidduch you're about to go on, and this guy was in prison for 15 years on mass murder, not that I'm exaggerating or anything, right? Then you'd be like, well, I want to know. You've got to tell someone. That's the basic concept. Okay? And that's based upon this pasuk in the Torah, says the Chofetz Chaim. Okay? Yeah. Yeah.
You do believe it. Because, like, let's say I ask somebody, should I go into business with this person? And they tell me all these horrible things about this person. I'm going to not go into business with that person.
Right. So you're entitled to... Right. This is the interesting distinction. You're entitled to protect yourself. You're not expected to be a sucker, or in Hebrew, a freier. Right. You're not expected to be that. However, you still shouldn't believe what they're saying. So it's unusual, but there is such this disparity in halacha.
By not going into business with them, you're believing.
No, by not going into business with them, you're protecting yourself from the possibility. But to believe it and say, this person is such a way, and that I can't do. You hear? I'm entitled to protect myself. I'm entitled to his information. And we'll see, hearing from first-hand sources, try not to believe it. Now, if that involves possibly saying, maybe this person was on duress when it happened, they're not really a bad person, they're not really a thief, you know? Yeah, but you still protect yourself. You're not expected to not believe it, and then go into business with them. That's really ridiculous. That you're not expected to do. Yeah? Sounds contradictory, but in halacha, it isn't. Okay. We're makbid and we're chashe, we're choshed on this person. We suspect them, but we don't believe it. So you're kind of getting close, but you're not right there. That's how we do it. Okay. So on the next page, we have the seven criteria that we need in order to speak Lashon Hara. Okay, which once again, if you're allowed to speak it, it can't be Lashon Hara, you get that? Okay, let's have a look at these seven conditions. For speaking, right, for actually giving over some information, okay? And then we'll go through the seven, and then we'll look at some examples, some real-life examples in this, yeah?
Like there's no
void of time? These are 70 times when you're allowed to actually speak and tell information, negative information about another person, which could end up damaging them in some way, okay? So these are the seven things that you need to make sure before you are misapel Lashon Hara. You get it? Okay, let's have a look at those. Okay? Number one, the speaker of the negative information must have witnessed the incident and not heard about it from someone else. Okay? You have to have... Let's write this down. What would you call that?
First.
Right, you need to have...
Primary.
First-hand knowledge. First-hand knowledge. First-hand information. Okay. So in other words, if I heard somehow about some guy from someone, that he's a terrible person who beats up people, and then a person approaches me and says, should I date this guy? I don't have first-hand information. I have second-hand information. I would be obligated, if I want to give my opinion, and I'm expected to research into it to make sure that it's now first-hand information or get hold of it in a much clearer way so it's as good as first-hand. Okay? I've got to have direct information unless the information I have on this guy is directly from the source and it's verifiable and it's truthful and then I'll be able to do something about it. Okay? So number one is first-hand, fully accurate. And that means, by the way, not understanding the what happened, verifying the facts, but an understanding of the situation, what actually went down. Yeah? It can't just be hearsay. Number two. Number two is you can't just make a quick conclusion about what you heard. So even if it is firsthand, even if it is firsthand information, you need to really investigate it. So even if it is firsthand, you should investigate it to know whether what you saw or what you heard really is, and you're not just jumping to conclusions. In other words, many times a person does things which seem terrible, but actually they're in self-defense. So you have to make sure you have the full picture, even if you have first-hand information. Even if you're involved in a business deal with someone, even if you did date some guy on a couple of dates and he said something which seemed unsavory, you've got to check into it. It can't just be that people sometimes deal with like anger situations. People will fantasize certain things in their head. It's not so simple just to draw a conclusion on them, even if you seemingly have first-hand information. Yeah?
Is that like two sides of the story?
You have to try, yeah. If you're going to spread some information, then you're going to have to do that. Yeah. Number three. Now, this one you have to be careful with, because it may not work, but if you think it could work, then you would have to do it. You may have to rebuke the person yourself. Yeah? You may have to actually speak to them yourself. Okay? So, for example, if it's a character thing, that's something. But which even can change, by the way, people can change. But it could be a certain incident, something they did, which they can fix. Which, if you speak to them, it can change before you have to spread the information. So, in other words, if you can go directly to the perpetrator and somehow gently speak to them and talk to them in order to change it, then you may be obligated to do it. If you think you will be successful in doing that. If you know that speaking to them is going to get you nowhere, then you don't have to do it. If there's a possibility by speaking to them, it will change, and thereby not obligate you to speak about them, then that's okay. Yeah?
Yeah,
so fine. Well, they did in the past, but now we're talking about the future. Future harm. So now I can...
Even if they don't do it in the future, you can still toss them out from the very...
Unless they've now changed its behavior.
Because they've changed it.
Yeah. Like, no, yeah. In other words, someone's a business person that did something not right. There's a possibility they could carry it. So before you do it, before you tell this person's not a good business person, don't go into business with them. You speak to them first. If you think they can change a certain behavior where it won't affect this, if you think it's not going to help, they won't listen to you anyway, which is probably most situations, then you will be okay to tell someone about it. Yeah? Okay. Number four. Now, this is actually a very common one. You can't exaggerate. Right, people will give up information, and they think, well, now I can speak Lashon Hara, and they'll go into, you know what they did? Oh, they killed him. And then they completely destroyed him. They dragged him with a coal, and he stole this, he did that. And they will just, like, completely exaggerate what happened. You've got to stick to the facts, and only the facts. You can't say a piece of information that they need to hear, and by the way, they dress so terribly. This has got like nothing to do with it whatsoever, you know? And I wouldn't use them as a babysitter. You know, you can't load on stuff which is outside of the pertinent information, okay? Now, this one's a difficult one. Rebuke the person yourself, don't exaggerate. Stick to the facts. Number five is, and this is also difficult because we're human, you can't enjoy it. Now that's difficult because it's called juicy gossip for a reason. And sometimes you may be trying to take revenge against this perpetrator. I mean, you're actually helping, but and you may be obligated to do it, but you feel a certain enjoyment. It's juicy gossip. And called juicy for a reason. You can't take any enjoyment in it. It should be l'shem shemayim.
How do you avoid that?
No, that's tough.
It's like a feeling. You can't really control
your emotions. Yeah, you can control your emotions. We discussed that already this semester many times. A person control it, and they say, I'm doing l'shem shemayim, and I'm able to control my emotions. Yeah, we spoke about that. A person can control their emotions. Yeah. It ain't easy. I'm not saying any of this is easy.
Yeah.
Not speaking Lashon Hara is not easy. saying, but if a person has to, in order to protect someone, they can't be getting a personal thrill of it. So, you know what? Shim Shimon, I got to say, I got to protect them, and I don't want to, I'm not going to try to enjoy this. Yeah? Even if you have some personal hatred towards that person, you got to kind of drive it out. That's what Chofetz Chaim says. Okay? However, if a person still can't remove that from themselves, they still got to speak the Lashon Hara. They got to tell the person. So even if they can't do it, they still got to tell. That's a personal obligation they have between them and Hashem, but they have an obligation, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, which still sticks and still has to happen. Yeah? Number six. And then we'll do a class exercise trying to figure out what to do in a situation. If there's another way you can achieve the same results without speaking Lashon Hara, you should do that. If there's another way to do it, let's write this one down. This is tricky. If there's another way to get the same results protecting this person, same results, you have to do it. So I want to protect this person from, I want to protect Shoshana from Miriam, who's on the warpath, and rather than telling Shoshana that Miriam is a terrible person who's trying to hurt you and thereby causing conflict, I find some way to deflect the whole situation. So I don't speak to Shana, that the threat is completely neutralized through the secondary action. I've neutralized the threat. It's no longer a problem. But I did it without being Mesapel Lashon Hara. And that's the best way to go. If there's some other way to do it.
How is that a rule of speaking?
Because, in other words, if I can't do this, I'm allowed to speak it. These are conditions. If I can't do that, if I'm not able to find a second way, you get it? If I'm not, if I'm able to find another way to do it, I should try to do that rather than be Mesapel Lashon Hara. I should try to find some other way to kind of like, you know, head them off of the pass. We'll think of some scenarios of that in a second. And finally, it's got to be clear that the consequences of you speaking Lashon Hara, of you telling this information, that the offender, through this speaking, is not going to be worse off, and it's not going to be more severe than the consequences they would face by going to a Bet Din. Meaning that if me telling this Lashon Hara to this person is now going to have them shot or hurt in a really bad way, that they wouldn't have even faced had they been taken to a Jewish court of law. Yeah? Consequences to offender . So for example, by you speaking this Lashon Hara, it's not going to end up that this person is going to take revenge against them. Get it? The listener. So I give information to Shoshana about what Miriam wants to do to her. I give information to Shoshana what Miriam's going to do to her. So I'm warning her what she's capable of. Shana's like, whoa, that's not good. So she now takes her shotgun, yeah, and I know she's going to do this, and is going to blow her head off. Because Shoshana is the kind of person who, you know, shoots people in the head. And they, so that you can't do. Then you can't tell. If you think they're going to take revenge against that person in a very severe way, let's put it that way, yeah, not just protect themselves, but actually take revenge against them, then that's a problem. In other words, constructive intent to Ellis doesn't justify causing harm to the first person. Okay. Give me 1 second over here. Okay, let's try an example of this. Let's try an example of this. With just these seven, yeah.
I have a question.
Sure.
What if something is said, because this, like, I think happens a lot, like you say, there's Lashon Hara, you're neither saying something positive nor negative, you're just saying, like, but that person may not necessarily want you to say it about them, but it's not that you're saying something bad about them. Like, people always say, like, I heard this person is dating this person. Like,
I don't know where that would constitute Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara, we said, has got to be a situation where there could be some harm. If you know by spreading that...
People who said it about might not want that
said. I hear, but that may still not constitute Lashon Hara. They may not be nice, but Lashon Hara would be that if you told them information, and now this person's going to try to break them up, right, because they like them, and they want to be together, that could be a problem. It's got to result in some kind of... It's got to be derogatory... and or lead to some negative result, whether physically, emotionally, to that other person. Just telling people that two people are dating, I don't think that will constitute Lashon Hara. It may not be nice, because they don't want that information spread, but I'm not sure that would constitute Lashon Hara. It's not nice, it's not Derech Eretz, you know, because it's, you know, they don't want to... Unless they specifically told you, don't say anything. If they specifically told you, don't say anything, and you agreed not to, then that could be a problem. That could be a problem. Because maybe they know things that you don't know. But if you saw people, they didn't warn you, and you don't know, then you could be permitted to do it. Okay.
And then that's going to hurt them.
If you just saw... Oh, that's a good point. You're saying if you saw two people, and now you're dating, you tell everyone they're dating, and now there's a girl who was interested in this guy, and she's like, oh, they're dating, I can't be with them now. Right? And actually, they're not. So that could be, yeah. That could happen. That could really happen. Like, a lot. That could be a real problem. That could be a real problem. You could ruin that person's... you could stop a shidduch happening. And he's going to marry her. And they won't have children, and that's your fault. I don't want that on my account. I don't want to carry that around with me. Who knows? That's good sensitivity, yeah. I'll give you that. Okay, let's use the dating scenario, okay? So let's say, because that's like a example we can probably relate to. Let's say you dated a guy. This is a real case, by the way. I had... a number of years ago, and one day it's got into a really bad argument, and he slapped you in the face. Okay. That's a real case.
He slapped her.
Yep. I mean, I don't think he punched. I don't think he punched her out, but he gave her a zets. Okay. So obviously, she did not see him again. She broke it off. And she, at the time I was involved in that relationship, actually the shadchan, ready for this one? You're not going to believe this. The shadchan, I spoke to the shadchan about it, and she said, yes, he's got, ready for this? He's got a bad temper, I know that, but once he gets married, he'll calm down. This was actually before the hitting incident. I just want to say, this is not post that, this was pre that. This was pre that. This was not my shidduch. But I suppose, and yeah, he's got a bad temper, which she was concerned. But don't worry, once he gets married, he'll calm down. Okay, if you learn about a red flag, that's a red flag. Okay, so eventually, and he got into really bad, and he was like totally remorseful. He felt terrible. He really had tremendous charata for what he did. He was a very nice guy, right? And people who, you know, beat their wives and girlfriends, they don't walk around like mean Nazis. They're usually very, very nice, sociable people. You know that. They don't walk around saying, I'm a nasty person that beats my wife. You realize that. They don't have a special sign, a shellet, you know, on their forehead. You know, a spouse beater. It would be nice if they did. Save a lot of trouble. He felt very, very remorseful. Okay. So, anyway, it came to me. I sat with them both, yada, yada, yada. And she ended up breaking up with him. A while later, someone asked me about him for a date. A girl approached me and said, now, this information obviously had not reached this girl. So was I obligated to tell her the incident that happened? Was I obligated to tell her of the incident that happened? It's not so simple. I want you to think about it. It's not so simple. To ask is like, yeah, sure. But one second. We have to put at least, it's worth putting 60 seconds of thought, you know what I'm saying, into the cheshbon, into the accounting, before I go, and because maybe this is his bashir. You know? So let's go through our seven. Let's do one by one. Let's try to tick them off and see what we can do. See what we can do. So number one, is it first-hand information?
No.
It's not first-hand information. In other words, I wasn't there when the hitting happened. I mean, the hitting probably wouldn't have happened had I been there. You know what I'm saying? People don't usually beat their wives in front of... However, they did both come to me afterwards, and he admitted it. They didn't say, I hit her. He never said those words, but he admitted it. He couldn't even bring the words out of his mouth, but he did mention the fact that something terrible happened, and she mentioned it, and he didn't deny it, so it was in front of me, and there was no reason they would lie at that point. He was like, you know, putting himself into a bad situation. He could have defended himself, which he did do in other ways, but not when it comes to this. So in terms of this, I would consider this to be first-hand information. No, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, although I wasn't there, I've now verified it by speaking to both parties that this incident did actually happen. And it was a one-off, but it did occur. Okay, number two. Even if it did happen, investigate it. So in other words, I know it sounds crazy, but there are two sides to the story. Okay, now I'm not justifying, we were very clear, I'm not justifying this in any way, but she happened to be pushing him before this incident happened, which she rightly admits. So you have to investigate it just to make sure. You still can't hit each other. That's completely a sore, right? However, you still have to pull out the information and see what's happening. It could have been that he was hitting someone in self-defense. It could be she was coming at him with a frying pan, which he wasn't. In that situation, maybe he's out to neutralize the threat. I knew many women who can't beat up their husbands if they want to. You know what I'm saying? So maybe it was in self-defense. I know if we hear man hits woman and suddenly, whoa, but one second, it could be. Happily in this case, it wasn't a threat. He lost his temper and he smacked her. Okay? So although she did push him. I wasn't there to see this smack. I don't know if we have the grade of smacking of how it happened. But whatever it was.
Could be
like a little patch, like, don't do that,
yeah,
you know?
Like
could be like a little, hey, where's my dinner? Like that. Is that? Yeah. I don't know I don't know if we're going to grade the. In other words, I don't think it wasn't a bone breaker. I'm saying he didn't pummel her. He gave her a slap. I don't know. I don't know if you have to leave a mark. I'm just trying to figure out the facts of what happened. They got into an argument. She got angry. She pushed him. Right? You know, a woman can do that. She was very upset, and they were arguing. Got very heated, and he gave her. But the smack wasn't. One thing I know for sure, it wasn't in self-defense. It wasn't in self-defense. That's what I need to know. The level of smack, I don't think I'm obligated to. Now, one second. Did it burn for 10 seconds? Right? Or did it sting for 5? I don't know if I have to go through a whole. It's not a. You know, I don't think I have to go through a whole. I just verified that it wasn't in self-defense and he gave her a smack. He was angry, and she was pushing. But, okay. That's number two. Number three.
What? They were dating when this happened?
Yeah, they were dating.
Did you try to, like,
that's very intense.
What?
Dating
behavior. Literally. Wow. Chloe, I hope you're right. I know people who date for a long time and get into some pretty bad arguments, I'll be honest with you.
Depends on how long you're
dating. Yeah, I mean, maybe, I don't think this happened on the first date, but people do some pretty stupid things while dating, you know? I mean, this isn't stupid, this is horrible, but people do some pretty ridiculous things. Yeah. I mean, you're right, Chloe, you're absolutely right. This is, on dating, people have to be on their best behavior. Absolutely right. They've been dating for a while, and it'd been a very turbulent relationship up to this point, you know? I mean, I wasn't involved from the beginning, but, you know? I mean, I wouldn't have set them up in the first place, but this is what happened to them. I'm giving you a scenario. But you're absolutely right. And not just dating. Even husbands and wives can't treat each other this way. Okay, number three. Can I rebuke the person myself? Now, this is tricky. Because I wasn't really in contact with the guy afterwards. You see? So for me to kind of go up to him and start speaking to him and giving him the, you know... And even if I say to him, so... How's the girlfriend hitting business coming on these days, you know? And what we're going to bring up, you know? Did he go through therapy afterwards? Possibly, you know? Did he get over it? You know? Maybe. I probably should have. I don't know where he is now. I probably should. I've been out of contact with him for a long time. I probably should have looked into it a little bit more. In other words, I probably could have, like, spoken to him. Because he could have turned around and said, you know what, I had this problem, I've now been in therapy for a year. Right? People change. People make mistakes. What, he can't get married ever again? I mean, you know what I'm saying? We can't, it's not, you have to put some cheshmen into this thing. That's it, he's a marked man. Do not date him. So with some extra information, it could be that he heard it and... This was a life changer, and he went through therapy, you know. It's like an addict. An alcoholic. Right? Now, they're not expected on the first date, but at some point, that's information which should be divulged. It shouldn't be the first date, all right, or pre the first date. You're not expected, not second date, but at some point, that is information that should be divulged, that I wasn't alcoholic, but I went through treatment, I haven't picked up a drink in... I don't know, 3 years, thank God, whatever it is, you know. 2 weeks is not sufficient, by the way, but for a good amount of time. And, you know, this is something I'm working on. I still go through, still go to meetings for it, whatever it is. You know, you can't just write people off, you know. But then again, you shouldn't marry them a week later. You know, it's not, there's a balance over here. But that is information you should divulge. Okay, so maybe there was. I didn't, in this case, actually look into it, but I guess a person could have. Four, you can't exaggerate. Right? So, in this situation, if I were to tell this girl that he hit her, it was a massive fight, and everyone was involved, and the cops were called, and whatever. You know, you can't make it into a big thing. Right? Bigger than it really is. You know, you can't start to add facts which may make the story more palatable, but have no relevance. Okay? You give the information as it was, as you heard it.
Number five.
You can't enjoy giving the information. So in this case, me personally, there was no enjoyment. It was a horrible thing, because I want this girl to get married, you know? But sometimes, if a person's been personally involved with someone and hates them and is very upset with them, you can't, you know. Six, another way to get the same results. Another way to get the same results. Am I able somehow to not tell her what he did, not tell her what he did, but possibly warn her of the potential threat, or find some other way to... You see, in this scenario, you don't want to just say, yeah, it's not for you, it's not for you. I mean, you possibly could do that, actually, without actually saying the information.
She was kind.
If you don't think... That's actually pretty much what I did, I think, in the end. But if you don't think it's... I don't think it was a good shooter for other reasons, by the way. Here's a side point. In this particular scenario, I don't think it was a good shooter for other reasons. Let's say this hitting thing never happened. I wouldn't have heard about it. I would not have suggested anyway. Okay? I just had an extra motivation at this point, you know, to, what I thought, protect this girl. So I did not tell her. I just said, I just don't think it's right for you. She's like, why not, why not, why not? And then she's like, what is it? This is it. I said, listen, I have information. I just don't think it's right for you. You know? And that we left it like that. I didn't actually tell her what had happened. That was the decision I came to. So I guess pretty much that's what I did in this case. I didn't want to be with this guy. I didn't trust him. Maybe, this happened many years ago. Maybe the gap between the occurrence and this dating thing was too short, you know? But I did not feel comfortable with her with him anyway, and I didn't actually say what happened. I didn't think I needed to say he hit his ex-girlfriend. I just didn't think I needed to say that. Especially this particular, I was nervous as well this information was spread to others. I was not convinced that she would not tell other people that, which is important.
When he hit his girlfriend.
It was a one-time hit.
Maybe he's changed.
You're absolutely right. I did not have that information. Maybe he's changed. I believe people can change. My reasons for not saying them are for other reasons. I did not want to tell her that he hit. I was nervous. Had I told her that, she would have told other people. They had mutual friends. I'm like 100% sure that she would tell other people. Which would have actually been bad for her as well. Would have cast her possibly in a bad light as well, you know?
What if you...
Oh, sorry, we had a hand up over here. I'm so sorry.
Oh.
Sorry, and then we'll come to you. Sorry, Chloe, we had a hand up.
Even if you found out that he's been through therapy and stuff, like, you're still obligated to tell him?
So, in that situation...
Yeah, it just happened, but he's turned around.
So, in that situation where you think this person has gone through enough change... If you think this person's gone through enough change it's tricky. It may be that you have to tell, and if you have a relationship with him, tell him to try to tell her that you had this problem and now you're over it. It's not so simple. I'm not so sure. It's not so simple.
Because you don't really know, if they'll never do it again, you know?
Yeah, and again, listen, even your reaction, I mentioned it once, your reaction was, no way. That's the reaction. Like, you hit someone, I was like, but as I said, people change.
Yeah.
People change, people go through improvements in life, people go through challenging times. I don't know, who knows what happened to that person that day? It's not so simple just to, but are you obligated now to relate this piece of information? So the general rule is, that if the information is still pertinent to that person, something they're still with, as opposed to a past incident, which I'm just trying to figure out, this could be considered just some past incident which doesn't need to be mentioned. You know? You don't have to tell everything you know about this person. But if it's part of their personality, then maybe you do.
Yeah,
you see the difference? Okay, but that problem is something they may be able to get over, as opposed to an alcoholic who's going to be an alcoholic for the rest of their lives. They may never pick up another drink again, but it's who they are.
Yeah.
It's who they, it's their mahus, it's their essence. I mean, that's how, from my days of counseling, especially drug addicts, which I went through, counseling them, it's who they are. I don't know enough information to know whether the wife beater is such a person for the rest of their lives. That every subsequent shidduch needs to be informed of this incident. It's tricky. You have to ask better people than myself.
They just need to find somebody who doesn't get them mad, like the other girl.
Doesn't work like that. No. It doesn't work like, you know what? So tell me, are you a person who gets other people upset? Because if you are, yeah, this guy's not for you. Tell me, have you ever, like, got someone else into an anger? No. It doesn't work like that. No. Everyone gets upset. Everyone gets angry. The question is whether they respond by being upset, angry, or, you know, lashing out. Yeah. Yeah.
What if, like, this situation revolves around an incident?
Mm.
What if, like, someone...
Well, we hope. We're not sure. It could be who he is. That's what I'm discussing right now with Lana. It could be more than just an incident. It could be who this person is. If it's an incident, it's quicker. We can quicker... If it's a character flaw and character trait, then we're dealing with a bigger thing.
And then if the person asks you, like, examples, people are like, why, what about her makes her like that? Like, you know, if you don't give an example, they're not gonna take your word for it, and they're gonna go after you. Am I being clear? Like,
no, that's I hear what you're saying. That's their decision. That's their decision.
So you shouldn't say the reasoning behind your thing?
You may not have to give the exact incident that happened. Let's say there was trouble. It could be. There was trouble in the past relationship. They went through this, but I've heard they've gone through counseling and they're better now, and I feel comfortable enough. I mean, before I would do it, I'd have to feel I knew.
If they didn't go through counseling, if, like, someone's just like, what about this girl? And you don't have a high opinion of that girl from.
Then you don't do it. And you have to make sure, number seven, that the consequences to the offender, if you know you're going to tell this girl this and she's like, very into women's rights, especially when it comes to women being beaten, and she's been known to go around, right, with a bunch of women and, like, beat the heck out of these, that would, definitely be, or, you know, jokes aside, if you know that she's going to tell someone, her father, or this guy's boss, and this guy's going to end up losing his job because of it, for example, that's a possible scenario. Right, or losing friends over it, which I felt she was going to tell people and spread that information. So I didn't want to do that.
Isn't that, like, always a threat, though? Like, you never really know how another person's going
to
take it.
Yeah, but still, you know, you're absolutely right. You may not know, but still you're entitled to protect them. That's between them and Hashem. Right? That's between them and Hashem. In other words, you can get the same results without doing it, but if you've got to tell the person to protect them, you're still going to tell them. Are they going to tell everyone else? I hope they don't, because they don't have fast information. They have, you know, there's a lot of other
right.
But that's, you still have to protect, you know.
So then if a friend asks about that same person, then she can,
so that's already not. So that's already scenario. Now we're dealing with, third-hand information, which you would need to verify in order to.
She would have to go back through.
Yeah. Right. Yep. Everyone's expected to go through this checklist in their own way. All right. Those are our seven conditions. Learn them and memorize them.
Question.
Yes.
What if this girl, like, for example, said, I want examples from you about this guy. Why is he not right for me? Like, you would just say, like, the things that.
Yeah. If you feel like you can do it another way, you find another way to do it, same results, then you don't have to give examples. If you do it some other way and say this is just not for you, then you would not have to give examples. You would not have to tell her of that incident. Mm-hmm.